The Local Thread.
Welcome to the Moment of Truth. From unique cultural insights to practical advice for cruising or planning a vacation, our guests will deliver valuable perspectives that cater to both seasoned travelers and those starting to explore. Today's program will highlight insights from Claire Petty, owner of Savvy Seniors, as she shares valuable travel tips. And myself, Ricky Tyus and Pam Tyus, will discuss travel tips and traveling around the world. A Moment of Truth is part of WGTE's The Local Thread and can be heard Thursdays at 7 p.m. on FM 91 and WGTE.org. Let me introduce Claire Petty. Imagine this, a bus packed with seniors laughing, bouncing off the windows, snacks exchanging hands like gold at a treasure hunt, and stories flowing faster than the highway signs they pass. This is just a trip. This isn't just a trip, it is a rolling family reunion. At the heart of it all is Claire Petty, a woman whose gift of hospitality has blossomed into something much larger than she's ever planned. Claire, so what is your background?
My background is I have a bachelor's in sociology, a master's in public administration. I'm a retired executive director of a nonprofit here in Toledo known as the Monroe Street Neighborhood Center.
Okay. And how did you get started in the travel business?
Well, I've always loved to travel. Even when my girls were young, my husband and I used to travel all the time with them. So my girls were flying before they were one.
Okay.
One of the things we wanted to always do was make sure that we vacationed. And we vacationed a couple times a year. And so that's really kind of how my bug of traveling became.
So there's a story that I read about how you started doing motor coach trips after you retired. Can you kind of give us that story?
Yeah. So while I was working and I was doing day trips for mm-hmm. a lot of the ladies that came to the center, and we would go to see plays at small theater not far away in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
So when I decided to retire, they said, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to do trips? Are you going to continue to do them? And I thought, I don't know. We'll see. But it was something I was doing as a extra just for fellowship for the people who came to the center. So they talked me into it. And so I decided to put together a trip to the Ark. So we went to Kentucky and Cincinnati. But one of the things that I always want to do when planning a trip is make sure that we visit cultural sites. Mm-hmm. And although we were spending a whole day at the Ark, upon arrival coming into Cincinnati, we stopped at the Freedom Museum. Because I always want, like I said, to incorporate some history mm-hmm. into whatever we do. So the places that I choose for us to go, I want to make sure it has some history that we can continue to learn. Because there's always an opportunity
okay.
to learn.
So how long have you been in the travel business?
So I guess you could say I've been in the travel business about 6 years.
All right. And why did you trademark your business name?
I trademarked it because let me tell you how it started. We started at the center, we started as a wellness, a senior wellness group. So mm-hmm. I had like an exercise program. So one day I'm walking through the area where they're working and I thought, oh, these ladies are savvy, you know, and that's really how the name came up. So I started calling them Savvy Seniors. So then it became the Savvy Senior Wellness Program. And then we got T-shirts and all different mm-hmm. kind of things, sweatshirts and stuff. And so then when I retired and I decided that I was going to do the trips, we had started doing them, but we were being called Savvy Seniors. So since I came up with it, then I called my attorney. Okay, what do I need to do next? Mm-hmm. What are the next steps for me? Because I need to trademark this. I don't want to come up with another name. Mm-hmm. People kind of know us by that name. Mm-hmm. And so I trademarked it. Jada Danielle designed my logo and everything for me. And that's when I really decided I needed to trademark it, because what was happening was people were going out just putting savvy seniors on stuff if they were going to participate with us because they didn't want to pay the costs.
Okay.
You know, and so at that point I thought, oh no, we're going to trademark this.
Okay. So why does modal coach transportation matter?
It matters because it allows each of us to have an opportunity to really get to know one another. You're traveling with about 50 people. Some you know, some you don't. But when you're in that type of confined, space, you got to talk to people. And so this gives you the opportunity to meet people, people you might have already known, but you've never really sat and had a conversation with them.
Okay.
So motor coach travel became the way we travel. Another reason, those ladies love to shop. If we're flying, you know, your luggage can't be overweight or you're going to end up paying.
Right.
But on motor coach, we got that space underneath.
Right.
It also allowed us to take a lot of our snacks and different things with us as we travel because we had the space to do so. But I really believe that it allows you to fellowship, get to know one another, become community.
You have travelers that travel with you from all over the United States. What's the furthest distance anybody has come to travel with you?
Oklahoma. Maybe it is Denver.
Denver.
I met her for the first time. She's I apologize. She traveled just one time with us. So it is Denver.
Denver.
Yes, right. Denver, right. Maryland, Atlanta, St. Louis.
Wow.
And can you imagine, people have heard about us through friends and wanted to join in.
Right.
And so what they do, one lady from Atlanta, she just flies to where we are.
Okay.
And then she meets up with us, and then the same one, Maryland. She'll be flying here this summer to take a trip with us because sometimes it's easier when we have a long trip over a period of time to start out with us, not to meet up with us, because then you're going to miss out on some of the things that we're going to be doing as we travel down the highway.
Okay. So what do you mean when you say you travel with a purpose? And I think you covered it earlier.
The purpose is to have like-minded women who love to travel. Women over the age of 60. I know it says 55 somewhere, and I get a lot of 55-year-olds say, I saw somewhere it said we could go with you if we were 55, but it's really 60 and over. And so it just, the purpose is to curate travel that will give you lasting memories. And because you are 60 does not mean that you still not want to do a lot of traveling and a lot of different things. A lot of our women are single, widows, divorcees, don't want to travel alone. And so this is a perfect way for them to travel and meet new friends.
Great. It sounds exciting. And I hope one day to get a chance to travel with you. Can you give me a favorite client win or tell a quick story about a trip you plan or a problem that you solve for someone?
Oh, the last one. This was a long trip, 6 days, Savannah.
Okay.
So you know that. So we ended up stopping in Tennessee. So we had a night spent, then we finished the day out. This particular trip probably had to be the most challenging trip because on the way, before we got to Tennessee, one of the ladies became ill. And so when we got to Tennessee, she kept saying, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. We went to dinner. I get a call. We've called 911 for our guests. And I'm like, what? What happened? So now I'm calling an Uber. I got to get an Uber to get back to the hotel because they're still eating. I get an Uber, and Jackie Brown, who assists me, we get back. We actually don't go to the hotel. We go to the hospital because they tell us where to go. Long and short, she had a bowel obstruction and had to stay. And so I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? I can't leave her here, but I have to leave her. And she was determined she wasn't going to stay. But, you know, I'm contacting her family, and her daughter says, let me speak to my mom. And, you know, and so finally she settled down. But we had to leave her. That bothered my spirit because, number one, I left her in a town we knew nothing about.
Right.
I had to leave her. But I got on the bus and I said to the ladies, I hope my kids treat me like Lorene's kids treated her, because that was at 1 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Ginger's plane was to land at 11:30. The son from California's flight landed at 4:30. The son that don't travel woke his wife up and was on the road. When we pulled out at 8 a.m. the next morning, Thomas called me and said, Miss Clara, I'm 30 minutes away. And that made me feel good, because it was just hard leaving. And she's doing right. so well now. And right. we're so thankful for that hospital and those doctors. But, the travel itinerary needed to move forward. But her kids were there, Johnny on the spot. And so, that was a trying time, because as we continued to travel and enjoy, we were snapping pictures and we'd send them to her and say, right. And then her kids were snapping right. pictures and texting me. And when we found out the day that she had to have the surgery, which was the next day, when mm-hmm. kids arrived, the surgery was scheduled that evening. Mm-hmm. We were out and about, and I asked our driver, would you pull over into a parking lot? Because at 8 p.m., we have to go in corporate prayer. We need to pray. And he did. And that whole bus, we have a chaplain. And so we asked our chaplain to pray. Mm-hmm. And we prayed, and then we went on about our business. And I think it just lifted a Everybody's heaviness. Spirit. It lifted a heaviness off of us. Mm-hmm. And her daughter kept us certainly, up to date on every step of what was going on. So that was a challenging time, and we got through it. Yeah. But it was still a wonderful trip, because when we got back, the good thing was we stayed at the same hotel, and her kids were there. We stayed at the same hotel, so we were able to take, I was able to go to the hospital and check on her. She had had her surgery. She'd been okay. in the hospital a couple of days. We were taking pictures, sending it to the group. Well, we're putting it in our group chat. Mm-hmm. And so everybody can see her and see that she looks well and that she's doing good. But that was a time that all the ladies just came together. Okay. I mean, that corporate prayer when we pulled that bus over, I'm telling you, thought we was in church.
Great.
Because them some praying ladies.
So what travel tip do you have for anybody traveling with you?
One of the things I do before we go on any trip is I have a meeting with those who have signed up and they're going on the trip. Mm-hmm. And we usually go to the library and we meet and give out the itinerary and just talk about the trip, what to expect, some of the things that I plan, because we have full days. But I tell everyone, if you don't want to do something, you don't have to do it. It is your trip, But I do try to fill our days up with positive things, educational things. We never too old to learn. And so, we do those kind of things. But it is your trip. You do what you want to do on it, or you can do what I've scheduled us to do. And so I try to make sure that they have all of that information before they leave. And then sometimes I have to tell them, okay, we got to pack light this time. Because we have actually filled the whole bottom of a bus. Well, that trip, because it was a long
right,
trip.
Because of a long
and so
trip.
We have people who you want to change 2 and 3 times a day, and they got 4 suitcases. Right. I'm like.
Right. What is a hidden gem recommendation that you have? A destination, a season, an experience, on something that's a hidden gem that you may want to talk about?
Well, I think travel is a hidden gem. What you find when you travel, what you look for, what you want to get out of where we're going. Mm-hmm. You have to want something out of it. If you decided you want to go on the Memphis trip, why do you want to go to Memphis? What is it about Memphis? And I do ask that, because then I start looking for things that we can do in Memphis because of what they said that they were interested in. Mm-hmm. So I think any of the travel that we do has been a hidden gem, because we always find something different. Great. Many people have been to some of the places that we've been before, but I really try to focus on things that maybe they hadn't done, something that we can do as a group that would just give a lasting impression and a memory mm-hmm. About that particular trip. The bus rides are fun because we do games, we sing, we you know, we act like big kids. I guess for lack of a better way to put it, we act like big kids because we just enjoy one another. We enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy the learning opportunities mm-hmm. that it has brought us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is one of the big hidden gems, is that when you plan something, plan it with purpose. What are we going to get out of it? Because
right.
we can all go to Memphis. We can all
right.
go to Nashville,
right.
Washington.
Right.
But what are you going to get out of that trip? And I want us to always be able to bring something back home, something to talk. Our New York trip was probably the one that they are still talking about. And it's about to be a repeat. And I try not okay. to do repeats, but we had so much fun.
Okay. So what does a road ahead look like for you?
The road ahead looks like I'm going to continue to do this. I'm going to continue to do it with purpose and passion. One of the things that many have asked me, why don't you do two buses? I never wanted to do two buses, and people will hear me say that all the time. I think I lose something if I try to do two buses. Yeah, two buses, a lot more people. And what people don't understand is when I negotiate with hotels now, you know, I'm negotiating for 26 rooms. Then I'd have to be negotiating for 50 rooms or more.
Right.
And it gets more difficult
right.
for you when you have to do that. So doing this one right. bus, it allows people to just really get to know one another. It makes the fellowship more meaningful.
Claire Petty has provided dozens of seniors with joy, independence, and friendship. She has given something far greater, a passport, not just to places, but to belongings. Thank you, Claire, for your insight on travel. We will be right back with the Moment of Truth. Welcome back to the Moment of Truth. Today's program will highlight Fletcher Ward, who recently traveled to Thailand, and my lovely co-host, Pamela Tyus, who travels around the world all the time. They will share valuable travel tips, and we'll discuss the advantages and potential costs of savings from the tips. So first, let me introduce Fletcher Ward.
Thank you, Ricky. I appreciate the invitation.
Fletcher, so give us your travel background.
Well, my travel background started when I was in college, actually. I had the opportunity when I was in college during the summertime in between classes to travel to Europe for a period of 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I repeated that experience a year or two out of college,
okay.
Traveling to Europe for 3 months. During those days, it was a lot less expensive than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the type of travel that featured a lot of backpacking, some hitchhiking, Eurorail.
Right.
Bed and breakfasts,
right.
youth hostels.
Hostels.
That sort of thing.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So that was the type of travel I engaged in. But I tell you, it was both times absolutely fabulous.
Okay.
Fabulous.
So for those people who don't know,
mm-hmm.
can you explain to them what a hostel is?
A hostel can be very hostile. A hostel is a group environment. You're
right.
you're sleeping in a room. Back then, and I'm sure they are now, it's typically, you know, boys and men in one room, and
right.
then women and girls,
right.
in another large room.
Right.
But
right.
you might have 10, 12 beds in there, sort of thing.
Right.
That
Very inexpensive.
Inexpensive.
These vacations were not a luxury vacation.
No, no.
These were backpack vacations.
They were, but you know, we did things. It was kind of interesting the first time in college. Mm-hmm. There were four of us traveling together, two couples, and we actually bought a car.
Oh.
In England.
Really?
Oh. Yes. It was a bit used, but we took that car, went over to the continent, and traveled throughout France and Switzerland and Austria and Italy with it. And it was because there were four of us combining our resources. Okay. It was less expensive than actually getting Eurails.
So we
did that for about half of that. 3 months there.
So how did you get the car from London to Europe?
And at that time, it was all ferry. There wasn't a tunnel at that time.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was on a ferry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So was the cost of the ferry very expensive for the car plus you guys?
I can't remember back then, but I will tell you that we had that figured out all in advance.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it was cheaper than four individual train passes, Eurail passes, ferry passes, you know, that sort of thing. It made a lot of sense economically.
So Pamela is my Europe expert.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a few questions to ask you about Europe.
Boy, so now how long ago was it?
Oh, boy, that was when I was... that was in my college days.
A couple decades ago, right?
Yes. So, at least a year or two, yes.
So were passports required, the passport book, or
how was it this, back then? This was before it was the European Union, so...
Yeah.
When you had to have a passport, of course... mm-hmm. I'm not that old, Pam. Come on. but you had to have a passport, but you also had to check in at every country that you went to.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't automatic crossing the line and that sort of thing. And so there were checkpoints every time you went across a border.
Oh, okay.
In the car or individually, yeah.
And back then, they still had the different forms of money, too. So
francs, lira, yes, Deutschmarks, yes,
yeah.
Everything, all of it was different. I remember one time being on a train going from Italy to Greece.
Okay.
This is on my second trip, going from Italy to Greece, and then having to go through what was then Yugoslavia.
Okay.
You know, but being not wanting to cash in too much money into lira before we left, and then not wanting to cash in Yugoslavia because their money was worthless, and then
challenging.
So I starved, you know, couldn't buy any food on the way down to that long trip, you know, 30-hour trip or whatever it was. It was crazy.
But made it memorable.
Yes. Travel was a lot different then.
And speaking of starving, so were you guys the type open to all different kind of foods, or?
I've always been. I think all four of us were. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the fun, isn't it?
I had a travel buddy. We got into Paris, and she said, all I want is a cheeseburger and fries.
No. No, you can't do that.
Oh, no. You missed so much.
You cannot do that. You cannot do that. You're just killing yourself to, you know, I don't care how much. You wait until you get into the airport going back home.
Oh, yeah.
Before you say, okay.
Really?
I see that Burger King over there, yeah.
So what tip do you have for people traveling to Europe?
Well, I don't have any because that was so long ago. I it would be presumptuous of me to do that other than some of the things we just mentioned. You know, try everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, try everything. Open yourself up to the experiences.
To the experience of trying new foods.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. My recent travels have been to Thailand and Asia. Yeah. But Europe, it's been a while.
Okay. So... any tips on traveling to Thailand?
Yeah, enjoy it.
Awesome.
Enjoy it. Well, it's I will say, you know, first and foremost, it takes a while to get there.
It does.
Mm-hmm. You know, it can take, depending on where you are going in the country, where you're starting from here, mm-hmm. it can take anywhere from 24 hours to 48 hours. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go to a place, and, you know, that's almost exactly halfway around the world. If you're going to go that far, then try to stay there for a while.
Right.
This is not a 5 or 7 day trip.
Right. Right.
Okay. Make it worth your while.
Right.
And, okay.
And stay there for at least a couple of weeks, if not a month, which I have done on a number of occasions, stayed for a month.
Okay. Yeah. So are you still staying in a West Coast city, then flying on, or are you flying?
I've done all kinds of things. I have made my reservations separately, such as from Los Angeles to Bangkok. Mm-hmm. And then maybe later make my reservations from Detroit to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or I have made reservations direct from Detroit to Bangkok.
Okay.
Which seems to be shorter. So there are a number of different ways to do that. I will say that when I make reservations through Los Angeles, I tend to stay the night.
Yeah.
You know, maybe visit friends, but stay, get out, and enjoy it a little bit.
Okay.
You know.
So which way is more relaxing? Spending the night in L.A. or just going straight through?
I don't think that matters. What matters is how long you have to stay in an airport. You know, as you book a flight that far, there are going to be some occasions when I came back this last time, I ended up spending about 8 hours in Chicago, in the Chicago airport, O'Hare, on this particular occasion. You know, so it depends on how long you're going to stay at an airport, more than anything else. My record for staying in an airport is 19 hours in Shanghai years ago. So that 19 hours.
Yeah.
That's long enough to go touring.
Well, it is. Yeah. It would be if you could easily get a quick visa and get out into the city.
Yeah.
But that takes some paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we spent the night in Amsterdam airport.
Yeah.
And we spent the night in the airport with a mouse running around. Or mouses running around.
I will say this, though, about because I've gotten to know a few airports in Asia. I will say this. If you have to spend time in an airport, try to make it in Seoul, in the Incheon airport outside of Seoul.
Okay.
Great to have lounges that you don't need to pay for to lie down and relax. Mm-hmm. It's a very active place all day, all night long, without being too crowded, you know, like some airports are.
Okay.
But it can be relaxing.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Incheon,
okay.
You need to spend a lot of time in an airport.
So let me ask you this question, because I had this conversation recently. Is there any particular airlines that you prefer, or do you go with best price?
I go with best price. The international airlines flying that way to Asia tend to be pretty similar.
Okay.
In terms of the type of airline you're going to be in, I prefer an aisle seat.
So do I.
So that's the thing that I want to strive for. And one of the differences is sometimes you need to wait until like 24 hours beforehand to claim your seat. Sometimes you can do it ahead of time.
Yeah.
So those are some things. But I've flown so many. Once you're in the air, the service tends to be very good.
Okay.
Food tends to be pretty good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can't pick one over the other, really. It depends, again, where you're going to lay over.
Okay.
To me. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So are there any tips for, because you're flying for a long time, any tips on the type of clothes to wear, any compression socks?
I tend to think that up there in the wild blue yonder, it can get pretty cold for me personally. I want to wear long pants and, you know, a shirt with long sleeves. Most of those airlines will provide little blankets, you know, you know, that helps.
They are little.
Cover your shoulders, little. Sort of thing. And I wear socks on there. And, you know, I see people wearing shorts and sandals, and I don't know how they do it. But for me, you know, just...
So one of the things that we learned is compression socks. Correct?
Definitely.
And the purpose of compression socks, Pam, is...
Oh, boy. If you are a person who has circulatory issues, and for me, I've had joint replacements, so it's a must. So, and then it's more comfortable, too, when you reach a destination or even a long layover, your legs feel a little more energized. Yeah, kind of like nurses, you know, being on the floor 12 hours in a hospital makes a big difference.
Well, I think that socks of any sort are very important when you're flying on a plane. I'll go to Thailand, which is as you know, subtropical, and I'm not wearing socks during the entire time that I'm there, but I definitely want to wear them to get there and to get out of there. One thing is if there's some sort of alert at the airport, and maybe you have to take off your shoes to go through the checkpoint, then you definitely want to have socks on.
So because you travel to Thailand, do you have TSA or global entry?
I do not. I have never, I look at it. The lines don't bother me that much.
Okay.
So I've never really thought about doing it. For some people who don't have the patience, I've never thought that it was necessary to me. I can certainly appreciate someone doing it, but it doesn't bother me at the airport.
So, Pam, what do you think about TSA and global entry?
Oh, I love it. But then I travel either with other people or kids. And when you have children, too,
you want
to get it over.
Oh, yes. That's a big difference there. Yeah. That's a big difference,
And my problem with global entry is it works well in the United States. Sometimes when you go to foreign countries,
it doesn't.
They don't care.
Not so much, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't care. Global entry.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some advantages to it, definitely. And I think it's something that everybody should have, at least TSA.
Yeah.
Any tips you can give us? There's a couple minutes left to go. Is there any tips about visiting Thailand that you can kind of tell us about?
Yeah, I think one of the things, Thailand offers a lot, from beach resorts to mountains to a couple of big cities like Bangkok and Chiang Mai. There's so much to do there, so much to see, that I think you want to make sure that you plan well ahead of time and make a determination. Do I want to focus on beaches? Do I want to go up into the mountains? You know, what do I want to see? Because I've been there numerous times and I still haven't seen everything that I want to see.
Plan it
out well in advance.
Wow, so that's a destination that should be on my bucket list.
It should be on everybody's bucket list.
It should be on everybody's bucket list.
It's the weather's great. The food is terrific. The prices are inexpensive. It should be on everybody's bucket list.
All right, that's fantastic. So, Fletcher, I'd like to thank you for your insight on travel. We will be right back with the Moment of Truth.
Welcome back to the Moment of Truth. I am Pamela Tyus. Today I am interviewing my husband, Ricky Tyus. And I have a few questions to ask him. First off, Ricky, what was your very first trip that made you fall in love with travel?
My very first trip that made me fall in love with travel. My very first trip, I drove a camper from Toledo to Daytona Beach. A camper, there was six of us. That was my very first trip on my own.
Okay.
Made me fall in love with travel. And I didn't realize at that time that I would eventually become a travel agent and own a travel agency. But that was my very first trip of my own. Before that, whenever I got out of grade school, my mother would, the next day, send me to California. So I spent all my summers growing up until I was 30 years old, in California. So that also gave me an opportunity to meet different types of people and learn different ways of life. The first summers when I was very young, I would spend the summer in San Bernardino, which was boring, boring. Nobody came out until 7 o'clock in the evening because it was so hot. As I got older, I could spend summer vacations with my sister in L.A. So that's my very first travel that I've ever done.
I was going to ask you that. Do you recall the moment when you knew that travel was going to be your business?
So what got me involved in travel as we go further on in life is my oldest sister, Joanne, had got me involved in multi-level marketing. And the only thing that stuck was getting into multi-level marketing that sold travel.
Okay.
I moved up through the company. I was doing a presentation in San Francisco. And unfortunately, the feds came in and shut everything down. But that's when I knew that I was interested in travel.
Great.
It's from that multi-level marketing company. Unfortunately, I worked for JCPenney's, decided to leave JCPenney's. They paid me not to work for 2 years, so I had to find something to do. So I went to travel school and got a certificate from travel school and ended up working for a travel agency once I graduated from that program.
And went from there. Great. Mm-hmm. We were talking about how travel had changed. And really, most recently, that real ID, my daughter took a trip, didn't have the real ID, but she did use her birth certificate and the old license.
Right.
Now there's a fee involved if you still haven't completed that process of getting the real ID. How much is that?
So what led to this, people was traveling without the enhanced driver's license. So they would end up showing their Costco cards and saying, well, here's my picture. So TSA came out, and it just started on February 1st with they're charging people $45 if you show up and you don't have the enhanced driver's license. Okay, the enhanced driver's license, they've been talking about enhanced driver's license for probably the last 10 years. It just went into effect maybe back last year in May, and people were still showing up like your daughter with not having an enhanced driver's license. So now TSA has come up with charging $45 if you show up and don't have an enhanced driver's license. So if you don't, you have to pay a $45 fee, which I think is not very expensive at all. I think it should be $45 for each segment, but that's me.
Yeah, that's given suggestions, and
right.
It could be, just could turn into that.
Yeah. So some other new things is going on in travel. Can you bring up any new things that's going on in travel as far as travel tips?
You know, not a lot of new things, but I hear it brought up more often now to make sure that the passport is not expiring 6 months from the from the time your passport says the expiry date.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's 6 months at least.
Right.
Some places
there needs to be at least 6 months left on your passport to travel any place. Now, there's some countries that you can get by with 3 months,
exactly.
But the rule is 6 months.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And that's good to know.
Yeah.
Because a personal plan on leaving, but something happens, they break a leg or something, mm-hmm. end mm-hmm. up in the hospital.
Right.
And now they will be a citizen of a different country.
They will be a citizen of a different country because they can't get back in because there's no room left on, there's no time on their passports. So one of the things about passports, I don't know if people know, but you can get passports done just about any place now.
Yeah.
The library.
Many places.
The travel bureau. Passports can be done. Post office, correct. Post mm-hmm. office. So they can be done just about any place. And you can also get passports done the same day.
Right. Okay. I've done that.
Right.
In Detroit.
I've done that too. Looked at my passport. I had a group going to Aruba. About 5 days before it was time to go, I finally opened up my passport and realized it was expired.
Oh.
So I had to go to Detroit, get my passport done, and they got it done the same day. And the price wasn't much more than the regular price of a passport. So
that's good.
So it was definitely worth it.
How far in advance should people be planning travel now? Things have changed with our government, so...
Well, for me, that depends on what they can afford. You know, if you plan travel out a year in advance, you can make payments to pay that mm-hmm. off. But you can also, if you can afford it, you can plan to travel 30 days out. You know, it just depends on what you can afford. I know people like doing cruises when they can plan it out. 12 months in advance, 18
yes.
months in advance. That way they can make payments and slowly pay it off. But those people that can afford it, maybe 3 months. I know you and I have done some things 3 months. So we just plan to go take another trip recently, which is sometime in April, and we just planned that recently. So it just depends what your budget can allow, how far to plan out.
Do you have any funny or unexpected travel mishaps that happened to you?
Oh, funny. I was coming back from Antigua.
Okay.
Okay. So the funny part for me was I didn't realize all the paperwork I had to fill out. Okay, so they check in my luggage, and they check my luggage in. Everything's filled out. So once they checked the luggage in, I had to go to another section and fill out more paperwork. And I didn't know that, you know, like no one told me, no one guided me, you know. So I had to stand there and fill more paperwork out once I got to the second section. And the funny part was, so I took a flight home early that morning. The rest of the group took a flight home later that afternoon. And they could hear my name being called in the airport. Ricky Tyus, Ricky
okay.
Tyus. Like,
I'm sure
Ricky
they were
Tyus
wondering
in,
what's happening.
And Ricky is already in Charlotte already, you know. So I thought that was funny. And I don't know how that happened. But they kept calling my name over the loudspeaker. And I'm already in Charlotte already, so.
Boy. Tell me, what's the most unforgettable place you've been?
Unforgettable place that I've been. Wow.
And why?
Well, Curacao.
Okay.
Beautiful
place.
I thought Curacao was an amazing place to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Curacao endorses their history. Mm-hmm. They endorse their Black history. When you get off the ship, they have a little walking area that talks about the history of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I went to Curacao, it wasn't an independent nation yet.
Oh, okay.
So Curacao recently is an independent nation. And the amazing part I thought about Curacao, the highways were better than our highways here, okay, because their main import or export was oil.
Okay.
So the roads were amazing. But I thought Curacao was an amazing place to visit, also along with Aruba, because in that area, there's no hurricanes.
Oh, right. That geographical location of all three, the ABC Islands.
Right.
Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. Yeah. They have no natural disasters.
No, none whatsoever. So if anybody's looking for a place to go in the Caribbean and you don't have to worry about weather, mm-hmm. Curacao, Bonaire, and Aruba is a place to go.
Are you a window seat or an aisle seat person?
Aisle seat.
And why?
Because
don't you want to see everything and take pictures out of that window?
No, aisle seat because I can stick my legs out in the aisle. Okay. You know, a lot of people want more leg room.
Mm-hmm.
By having the aisle seat for me, I can stick my leg out
automatically,
and it gives me more room.
Okay, carry on or check luggage?
Well, I like checking luggage. Okay, but with the prices for luggage these days, mm-hmm. it looks like I'll be like Fletcher. I'll be backpacking.
That's convenient.
Yeah, that's convenient.
No lost luggage issues that way.
No lost luggage. Okay.
Early flight or red eye?
I prefer early flights, even though my driver doesn't like driving early morning, but I like early flights.
Can't drive at dark.
Yeah, you can't drive at dark. So, yeah.
Travel companion or solo? Which is more fun to you?
Travel companion.
Any particular travel companion?
My wife.
Wonderful. Good answer. Good answer.
But traveling is something that just opens the world to life. There's more life than just what's in your neighborhood. It just opens you up to so many other things.
It does.
It's eye opening for people not to travel. They're missing out, and not to travel outside of the United States, you're missing out because, unfortunately, what we found is the U.S. doesn't always do everything. Well, how can I say it? They're not the best at doing everything. One of the things that we learned in Europe was how well they package just bottled water.
And, oh, I love that. They made bottled water with just a little tab, so the cap doesn't come completely off.
Right.
You don't lose your cap.
And it's in glass, it's not plastic.
You know? Right.
So there's a lot of advantages to seeing
huge
the rest of the world
benefits.
Because there's so many things that they do that we naturally don't do here. So,
mm-hmm. What do most people say they want in travel versus what they actually enjoy?
Well, it depends on what they're traveling for. Okay, what they're traveling for. If it's just a beach vacation, they want to see beaches. They want to see oceans. Skiers want to see snow, you know. They want to see snow. They want to see mountains. So it just depends on what they're traveling for. Families want to have things that can entertain the kids, you know. So, again, it just depends on what that person's traveling for.
And how do you hope people feel after returning from their travel?
Whoa, I hope people feel excited about traveling, about seeing a new destination and want to travel more.
Yes.
And one last tip that I would like to give, make sure everybody travels with travel insurance.
Oh, yes. You know, very important.
Travel insurance is important. It will put your mind at ease about traveling.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any problems, most travel companies will take care of it. But the biggest tip here is when you travel is make sure you have travel insurance.
And it's not always expensive.
It's not very expensive at all.
You can get it for health reasons, for any reason at all.
Right.
We've had really great experiences where people had from their luggage damage to delayed flights, a parent getting sick right before the trip.
Right.
Personally, we have a friend that had a shoulder issue and no problems.
Yeah.
Get everything back.
You know, in a previous segment for today's show, Clara talked about somebody getting sick, going down, you know, how comfortable it would have been if that person would have had travel insurance. You know?
Yes. What's next on your bucket list?
I used to do a civil rights tour. Mm-hmm. So I want to reestablish that civil rights tour. And my first stop is going to be Mississippi.
Yes, Mound Bayou, Mississippi. Yeah, here we come.
Will be my first. my first stop would be going to Mississippi to try and reestablish that civil rights tour again.
Great. Thank you for joining us on our travel edition of The Moment of Truth. We'll see you next time.
The Local Thread is a production of WGTE Public Media. Episodes can be heard weeknights at 7 on FM 91 or anytime at WGTE.org.